Good morning, New Day. Good morning to those of you who are here in the Ministry Center this morning. Can we hear you? Good morning. Good morning, Doug, outside. I see you joining us outside. And good morning to those of you who are also joining us online. A special shout out to a couple of friends who are traveling the UP this morning. They say that they are tuning in. So good morning, Faye and Lynette. It's wonderful to be able to be together on this glorious morning. And as we think about how beautiful it is outside, I also have a question for those of you who are here. Has anyone had in, let's say, your lifetime, has everything been perfect? No problems, no issues, no stresses? Okay, probably not. How about in the past year? Yeah, probably not. It was 2020 a year ago. So yeah, we've had struggles. Anybody this morning, like things just went perfectly smooth? Like no issues getting out of bed? No, right? It's pretty unrealistic for us to think that our life is going to be perfect, that we're not going to have struggles or challenges. Jesus tells us, however, himself in John, that here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. It's expected. We know we are going to have challenges. And we basically have a choice to make to those challenges, to those struggles. Are we going to react to them, or are we going to respond to them? Years ago, someone had compared it to medication. Are you going to respond to your medication, or are you going to react to your medication? Well, we know we want to respond, not react. So reacting to something isn't always the best answer. Thankfully, Jesus didn't stop with that verse and say, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, period. That wasn't the end. He actually continues, and this is John 16, verse 33, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And that's what we're going to talk about today, taking heart or having hope. We are going through the Believe series, and we are currently on chapter 25 in this series. So if you've been following along, continue to do that. So again, chapter 25, we're talking about hope. Now, as we look at the word hope and what that means, we're also going to look at two other words. We're going to look at the word for and the word in, and both of those are prepositions. Now, school is going to be starting in a little while. I didn't count kids to tell you how long. Summer is almost over. But prepositions are basically a word that comes before a noun. For and in, they're two small words, really shouldn't seem that significant. But when they're very different, and when we put them after the word hope, it changes. So Webster's Dictionary defines hope as to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true. So we hope for something. This morning I asked the Poyer kids, what are some things that you hope for? They hope for a trip to the Great Lodge. They hope for their relatives to come to know Jesus. We hope for a promotion. We hope for a passing grade or good test results from the doctor. We hope for ice cream after the service. These are things we hope for. Another definition is to expect with confidence or to trust that something is going to happen. So we might put our hope in something. And we can put our hope in many things, but we need to be careful. Because unfortunately, some of these are false sources of hope. For instance, we might have a false hope in riches or in money. Money comes and goes, but it's real easy to think, oh, if I just got that bonus check that was coming, things would be so much easier. Or maybe if I got that new job that had more pay, things would be better. But Paul writes to Timothy about false hope in trusting our riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, we read, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So we can't put our hope in money. We can't put our hope, or we shouldn't put our hope, in people either. People let us down. we hope that our lab partner is going to bring in the papers that they were supposed to write. Or we hope that our coworker shows up for work and doesn't call in sick because we have a lot to do. We have to be careful not to put our hope fully in people. In Psalm 118:8, we read, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans." And I want you to key in on that word trust. Again, people, they're going to disappoint us because they're people, they're human, they're not perfect. Another thing that we can put false hope in is idols. Now, idol isn't really a word we use quite often nowadays. So when I looked that up, it's something that placing something else, a man-made invention or a material thing, above God. So something like that might be, I hope that my car keeps running and gets me to work. I hope that the AC doesn't quit today because it's going to be 90. Those are man-made inventions that we hope and we put our trust in. In Habakkuk 2, starting in verse 18, we read, "Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood," and I always read it this way, "come to life. Says to wood, come to life. Or to a lifeless stone, wake up. Can they give us guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it." So putting our trust in idols, in man-made things, is a false sense of hope. And also putting our hope in human government. One, they're human, and with government. How often do we hope that the government is going to do this or that? One side wants this, one side wants that. And again, we're warned of that in Scripture, not to put our hope in government. Isaiah 31, verse 1, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord." So all of these sources, whether it's money or people or idols or government, they're all things of this world. They're of this world. They're here. They're now. And it can be easy to put our hope in those things. But again, they're a false source of hope. Our true hope can really only be in God. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 6 says this, starting in verse 19. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf." As I was studying this and really reading this verse and trying to key in on this verse, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Well, what does an anchor do for a boat? If you're out on the water and you want to stay put and remain firm, you drop your anchor. So our hope is the anchor. The anchor has to be in the ground in order to keep us firm and steady. But in order to really understand hope found in God, we also need to understand faith and what that is. So Webster's Dictionary, they define faith as this: belief and trust, there's that word trust again, belief and trust and loyalty to God. So trusting in God. We're going to actually watch a video here, and we're going to see how Solomon exercised his faith in God.
At the time of Jesus' birth, there was a man named Simeon who followed God closely and devoted himself to God's ways. He knew of God's promise to one day send a Messiah to rescue Israel, and he waited and hoped for this to happen. God's Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Messiah himself. Simeon was moved by what God's Spirit told him, so he went to the temple. As he stood in the outer courts of the temple, he saw Joseph and Mary bring their young child, Jesus, into the temple. They were there to offer a sacrifice, a pair of doves or pigeons, in order to consecrate Jesus to God. Simeon took the child into his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Mary and Joseph marveled over what Simeon said about their young child. Finally, Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph as well. Just as God had promised to him, Simeon had seen the Messiah with his own eyes.
So we saw in that video that God worked through Solomon's life when he exercised his faith. He believed and he had faith that God was going to send a Messiah. We also read about that in Genesis, and Abram, he had the same faith. So Genesis chapter 12, starting verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Both Solomon and Abram expressed their faith in God by obeying him, even without knowing the outcome. Abram was 75 years old, and he picked up everything and he left, and he didn't know where he was going or what he was doing. Solomon didn't know how long he was going to live, but both of them had faith and hope, and the two of those really go hand in hand. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith this way. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. When we don't know the outcome of a situation, faith gives us the assurance that it's going to be okay. It might not be what you expect, but it's going to be okay. And then it makes us confident that no matter what, God will provide and take care of us. So remember when I asked whether we've had struggles, and we all have had struggles and hardships, some of us this morning, some of us a year ago. Well, back in November, our family experienced a hardship. November 4th was like any other day, other than it was unseasonably warm. I went to work, the kids had gone to school, and my husband Clint had went to work to tie up some loose ends with his sprinkler business before winter. But in an instant, on that day, everything changed. Around 10:30 a.m., the employee's wife that was working with Clint walked into my studio. Now, she had never been there before, so I thought it was a bit odd. And then I looked at her face. Something wasn't right. She had received a phone call from her husband, and all he said was, they had been hit, they're working on Clint. Okay. At that moment, that second, I had a choice to make. Am I going to react or am I going to respond? Am I going to freak out or am I going to pray? I immediately sat down, sat on a chair, bowed my head, lifted my hands, and I prayed out loud. I don't exactly remember what I said other than, God, I don't know what's going on. You do, and I know you've got it handled. When we talk about obeying and exercising our faith, we had just come off of 21 days of prayer and fasting, so I had been really good at instantly going to prayer. And I know that I needed this, and I know God had planned this. He had planned for these 21 days of prayer that I participated in because he knew this experience was going to happen. And as soon as I prayed that, I felt this peace that I cannot describe. I truly can't describe this peace that came over me, but I knew I was ready to face whatever was happening. So shortly after praying, she was able to get a hold of her husband, and we got a little bit more information. They had hit a power line, and they were still working on Clint. Well, that really didn't make any sense to me either, because He was very good, is very good at calling Digger's hotline. Something didn't make sense. I still didn't have enough information. But I knew it was so important to pray. My very first text that I sent out was to Pastor Aaron and Rachel, asking them to pray for me, saying, I don't know what's going on. All I know is I need prayers. My second text message was to my small group for the same reason. I knew that I needed prayers. I knew that Clint needed prayers. The situation needed prayers. And then I decided I should probably start texting family and let them know what was going on. And I also knew that as information was going to be coming in, whether it was quickly, sporadically, whatever, I needed these people to be interceding on my behalf. For the next 2 hours, I had no idea whether he was dead or alive. And in those 2 hours, I could have freaked out. There were multiple times where my head went down rabbit holes and a lot of what ifs. And as soon as they did, I instantly turned to prayer and said, no, I can't go down that hole because I don't have enough information. I don't know. I also would hum. I would hum songs. I would hum praise songs. And it just really grounded me. It was my anchor. It was my boat anchor that was keeping me firm and keeping me strong. And I really knew that God was going to take care of me no matter what. I had faith that he was going to carry me through this. Well, we ended up learning that they had actually hit an overhead line, not an underground line, while they were installing a sand point in order to get water for a sprinkler system. Both Clint and his employee took 14,400 volts of electricity. That's a lot of electricity. Clint's heart stopped beating, and yet, by the grace of God, the right people were in the right place. A construction worker had shown up with his employee to check on the progress of the house that they were working on. The employee just happened to be a former nurse who knew CPR, who could start CPR almost immediately after the accident. 911 was called. He was shocked two more times, this time by the EMTs, and they ended up getting his heart restarted. It's a true miracle that he is here and alive today. And that when people hear this story, they will always comment, you must have been to me. You must have been going crazy during this time. And I usually just smile and say, yeah, you would think, but no. And I don't want you to think that I wasn't scared and that I wasn't worried. Of course I was. But now I have a testimony that I can tell. I can say to them with certainty, no, I was actually okay because I stayed strong and my hope and my faith that God was going to take care of me no matter what. I didn't know if he was with us or not. I didn't know what state he was going to be in or not. But with confidence, I knew that it was going to be okay, no matter what. I had a team of people supporting me, either in person or praying. And I know that, again, it was going to be okay because I had my source of hope, which was Jesus. So when we have faith and hope that is strong, how does it change us? How does that affect us? How many of you are familiar with the story of the Very Hungry Caterpillar? It's a children's book, and Eric Carle wrote it, and he passed away in May. He was 91 years old, and I read a post on Facebook that said, when asked why he thinks the Very Hungry Caterpillar has remained popular for so long, Carle said, I think it's a book of hope. Children need hope. You, a little insignificant caterpillar, can grow up into a beautiful butterfly and fly into the world with your talent. The caterpillar didn't know the outcome of its existence. It didn't know what was going to happen. It had faith, though, and hope, the expectation that things were going to work out. It used its God-given beauty to make the world a better place. It looked different. Now, I don't know if Mr. Carle was a believer of Jesus Christ or not, but when I read it, I can think me, created by God in his image, can grow up into something beautiful that he created me to be. And children, yeah, they need hope. We need hope. Adults need hope. But it has to be a hope that's greater than things of this world. So when our hope is in Christ and in him alone, we look different. We act different. We think different. Hope activates our faith. Faith deepens our hope. Hope in Christ gives us a different life to live. You know, we want to be happy. We want a fulfilling life. But I also want people to look at me and say, there's something different, just like this experience. They were able to look at me and say, there's something different about her. Our behavior, our words, that should all look different than non-believers when our faith and our hope is strong. Hope in Christ also gives us, again, a different way to think. Our minds can be our greatest enemy, or they can be our strongest ally. We can go down those dark rabbit holes, or we can pray. Our minds can make us freak out, or they can make us stay calm. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So when we have hope in Christ, we live differently, we think differently, and we have a different place to look. We set our sights on eternity, our eternity with God. Ethan this morning said that he hopes for his aunt and uncle to be in heaven with him, because when he thinks about heaven, he wants to be with his family, be with his friends. That's bigger, that's more than of this world. Eternity, the best is yet to come. I was going to tell a story, and you can look it up, the funeral fork story. It's wonderful. A lady wants to be buried with a fork because after you're done eating, they'll clear the plates and they'll say, oh, save your fork. And what do you save your fork for? For dessert. And usually the dessert's something good. You know, it's chocolate cake or it's apple pie. You save your fork because the best is yet to come. And really, heaven, eternity, that's the best. Life on this earth is short. It's very small. It doesn't last that long. But when we have hope in Christ and we have faith in God, we have a different place to look. We can look to eternity. So I think back to the situation with Clint and compare it to the hungry caterpillar. It's all part of obedience. We can take in scripture. We need to be reading scripture. We need to be gathering with our friends, just like the caterpillar needed to eat the leaves in order to fill himself, in order to change. We need to be taking in scripture, gathering with people who are believers, serving our neighbors, and that is when we change, and that's when we are going to go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for sending your son to give us hope, to be our anchor through life's storms. And as we know that we are going to have trials and struggles and stresses, I just pray that our hope in you, our faith in you, just grows strong and deep, so that we can remain firm, that we can remain strong. Help us to obey your scripture and to just become the best person that you created us to be. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, so this week we have a lot coming up. Backyard Missions actually starts this Wednesday, and if you are not participating but would like to, there's still plenty of time to sign up and participate, and it's going to give you an opportunity to live differently, to serve your neighbors. You can call or email Tammy, and her contact information is going to be put into the chat section if you are watching online. If you're here in person and want to participate, you can talk to Rachel after the service or myself, and we'll get you connected with what you need to do. Along with Backyard Missions this year, what we're doing differently is we also are having a blood drive on Wednesday. That is going to be from 2 to 6. It will be here in the ministry center. There is a great need right now for blood. So if you're able to donate, or if you know someone who can, please go to our website, newdaywi.com, and sign up. And then also this Sunday, this next Sunday, August 1st, we are actually calling it a Yay God Celebration Sunday. It is not going to be at the OMC. We are actually going to be at the Yellow Banks Shelter, which is directly across the street from the Ministry Center. That will be at 10 a.m. We did ask for you to pre-register for lunch. If you didn't do that, you can still, we would really love to have you there. Bring us a sack lunch to participate. A chair, and we're just going to hear some amazing stories of how God was at work over the past week during our backyard missions. So, again, thank you this morning for tuning in. Kids, do not play with electricity. Go in peace.